Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Sometimes I forget. Perfection is nonsense. It's just the way it is. Life gets rough around the edges. Peace is just a perspective shift away. And Rebecca, Emily, and Kate are here to help. This is Mom Struggling Well. 'Cause we're all in this together. Yeah, we're just moms struggling well.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. This is the podcast that helps you love your actual life so you don't need to run away from home. We believe perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away.
Oh my gosh, I need that today so bad. Today we're going to talk about struggling well through disappointment. And if you've never been disappointed, you are not in reality.
So. Get out of here.
Get out. If this is your first time joining us, welcome, but also get out. Just kidding. Really, though, thank you for being here. You can catch up quickly and find out who we are and how the show has evolved by checking out the highlight episodes that are linked in the show notes for you.
So today we're talking about disappointment. It's always kind of good to start with the struggles, kick us off. Mm-hmm. What's going terribly wrong for you guys? Let's hear about that.
So let me just say, if somebody's new, who are the Strugs and how do we find out what they think?
Strugs is the whole community.
Okay.
M started this ding-dang thing a long old time ago, and they've been hanging out for a long time. And then they're over on Instagram.
Okay.
We have a lovely Lauren who posts things on Instagram and says, hey, what's going on? At Mom Struggling Well.
Okay.
And then in the box, they pop these things, just the saddest of things, but then also so many ways that they're struggling well, because it's not just about us.
Sure. It's true. So if you're listening to this, you're a strug. You are a strug.
And if you want your struggling well voice to be heard, go to Instagram and say some things and we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And a lot of times in the Facebook group, they share even more. So when you put it in the box, we don't know. Well, we have your names, but nobody else has your name. Mm-hmm. But in the Facebook group, they really get into it. You know, in the Facebook group, you can post anonymously.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that's a new feature.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
I do too. Now, Facebook group is for Patreon only members. So
yep.
You can be a strug, but if you want to be like a super strug, then you got to be a Patreon member and that's join right. that group.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. But you could be anonymous. I think I feel like posting some things online anonymously. I've got some things to say. Just kidding. I really don't.
Well, no, it's you now. you're not safe.
So what did the strugs say about how they're struggling well with disappointment?
Mm. Well, there's a lot of infertility.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And I know that's something you can speak to and you have spoken about, Em.
Even like saying that word, like I get a certain kind of feeling in the pit of my stomach. It's hard. It's sure hard. I think also what's interesting is secondary infertility when you want another kid and you can't have one.
And like then the first one was easy or like the first one you didn't struggle with. Is that what secondary infertility
means?
Yeah.
And then you've got any situation has complicating factors where you're like, oh, but I should be happy with the kid I have.
Yeah.
But when that doesn't feel like the end of your family or whatever. Anyway.
Here's another one that can go the other way. Somebody said, it feels silly, but I was so disappointed when I found out I was pregnant with a second boy.
Yeah. She probably that's wanted a girl.
Too. Yeah, you have a vision in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's where all disappointment comes from, right? Is having a thought of how you'd like things to go.
Yeah.
So repeated negative pregnancy tests while friends are announcing their pregnancies. I have heard that pregnancy announcements are so difficult for a lot of people.
I know.
How did you feel when you saw pregnancy announcements? Should we not be doing pregnancy announcements?
We have to do pregnancy announcements. They're so exciting. You know what I mean? Like, and it's so hard. So having been the infertile friend while all my friends had kids, they start getting real thoughtful of you, which makes you feel worse. But if they were not thoughtful, you'd still feel worse. Like, there's no good way around it. You know, like I had a friend who, like, I never got to be in the room of, I've never seen a baby coming. And there was a friend who was having, I don't know, everybody does it different, but she was having a bunch of people in the delivery room. And she didn't invite me because she didn't want to hurt my feelings. So I was the only, so being left out of the pregnancy experience and then also being left out of an experience everybody else was having just because I was left out once. So let's leave her out twice. But again, how do you, there's not a good way to navigate it. So there just has to be a lot of grace, a lot of communication, a lot of crying, a lot of chocolate, like whatever you got to do. Like, there's not a right way to do it, and there's not an easy way to do it. And unfortunately, you just have to go through it.
It sounds so identical to losing somebody, like a death, grieving.
Isn't that interesting? It is. Yeah. We had a lot of mimosas and cheese Danish when mom died.
Yeah, we ate a lot of cheese Danish when mom died. That was a good time.
It was a really good time. And I can't see those. I've not had them since she died, and I have no desire really to. I'm not really a cheese Danish person, but man, I hit them hard for a while. And whenever I see that brand, I'm like, man, that was a good time. It was a sad time, but it was also a very comforting time.
Oh, bad Danish. Yep. So, yeah, it's interesting. I feel like I've lived a very charmed life, right? And so I was nervous to come and talk about disappointment. But I distinctly remember having a conversation with our mom, who a year ago, unexpectedly, you know, very quickly passed away with cancer, right? And I remember being like, Mom, nothing bad's ever happened to me. Dun, dun, dun. Then my mother-in-law died and then she died both very unexpectedly. So my disappointment, my biggest things with disappointment were grieving the loss of two people that shouldn't have, you know, that died way too soon. Way too fast.
Yeah. Here's what I think is interesting is you think you've lived a charmed life and things haven't gone wrong. I can tell you everything that's gone wrong in my mourning. It's all the way you look at it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can be disappointed 99 times a day, or you can, in your life, have had two big disappointments. Do you know what I'm saying? It really is the way you view things, I think.
I totally agree. And I feel like as like a chronic optimist, that's a problem. It's a problem because then I don't even let myself identify what really disappointing things have happened in my life.
Interesting.
And I don't allow myself time. So I think something that I do, because I know that I'm so positive, that I will let myself be like, this sucks. Have a day, have a week, and just let it suck for a while.
You know how Anne Voskamp is always saying, like, you should write your 1,000 gifts? You should, Kate, instead of that, write your 1,000 terrible negative things.
How long, over what period of time does this have to happen?
I'm not sure. Is it a year? Is that what she says? Yeah, she should get 1,000 in a year.
Take a year and find 1,000 terrible things. Then I'll figure out which would be a really good antidepressant for you.
Oh, no. It's going to be like Heath Ledger when he was the Joker. And then just things went off the deep end. Oh, guys, right. I can't do that.
Okay, yeah. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Maybe find 20. Is 20 okay?
Moms in the Fitness is designed to help you achieve optimal health without going to extremes. This is a new sponsor for us, and I'm pretty pumped about it. So it was founded by Lindsay Brin. She's a specialist in women's fitness. She has Christian faith, Midwest roots, a husband, and 3 kids, and she's super passionate about helping moms. And because we know that our kids are always listening, Lindsay talks about balanced health, not losing weight or being unhappy with your body. And I gotta say, it's not just about the words that she's using. I think she's modeling some really great stuff in the outfits that she's choosing as well. She's about celebrating non-scale victories like surviving the amusement park, carrying a toddler on your back all day, or confidently saying yes to that kayak adventure while you're on vacation. She has fitness programs for beginners to advanced, done in as little as 15 minutes. You can choose from running, HIIT, bar, pre or postnatal, low impact, Pilates, strength training, kickboxing, and so much more. So you show up and let Lindsay do the rest. You can follow a laid out calendar or show up for a daily 15, just a quick 15 minute workout that rotates each day. But there are really so many things to choose from. Here's my experience with Moms Into Fitness. I went from thinking about working out to Googling Moms Into Fitness, signing myself up, taking a quick survey, and launching a class in about 15 minutes. So if you are a little last minute like me, or you have to really jump on it when you have the desire to exercise, this is a great tool for you. I think she really cares about mom time and how little of it we have, because this survey kind of like suggested, ooh, this class would be good for you, or pop into this one. She also had some really great tips like, hey, you don't have exercise bands, go ahead and wrap your leggings into a knot and use that instead. That made me feel like she's kind of meeting me at my level. So get this, you can have individual attention directly from an expert, talk with Lindsay to find the best program for you, or fill out that survey I was talking about, and then she emails you with a customized plan. Mom Struggling Well listeners get 50% off 3 months. So that's only $7.50 for the entire month. This includes a free week, so there's no commitment. If you don't like it, go to momsintofitness.com/MSW and use code MSW50 to start nurturing you. I love that. Don't you love that?
It is interesting because, as you say, like, it's annoying or difficult or not healthy for you that you're a chronic optimist. That, as somebody who's more like the Joker than not, I'd rather. That seems like such a good problem to have. But, you know, yeah, I guess too positive is a problem.
It's a whole thing, like toxic positivity, where you don't allow, you know, where you just brush everything, not brush everything under the rug, but I feel like I often minimize other people's problems because I just want everyone happy.
I don't feel like that at all from you. I don't know if
really.
I feel like anytime I've come and been like, I'm having that worst day, like, you always validate. I walk away feeling like, oh, okay, it really did suck. What just happened really did suck. Like, because of you, because you've said, validated that for me.
But because you validate for other people because you know what they want as an Enneagram 2, you instinctively know what they want. You invalidate your own.
Mm-hmm. That could be true. Yeah.
So
it's true. And it sucks because then I don't get to know myself. Like, here's a Strug wrote, having to move across the country away from anyone we knew to a place that I didn't have any interest in. I literally did that, could not think of that as something that was disappointing to me. But when she wrote that, I remember literally just laying down on the ground as soon as he walked out of the house. I was 20 years old, moved from Arizona to Virginia, which I don't even know if I knew that it was a state. I had never thought about Virginia in my entire life.
That does not surprise me.
Been there.
I know. She was like, okay, so how did I get here without a passport?
That flight was short and I did not see a lot of water.
They speak English here too.
But anyway, that was such a disappointment. And then that Joker went on a 6-month deployment right when I moved there. I knew nobody. I had no job. I literally had no money. And I just laid on the ground. That was disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I identify that now.
Yeah. Wow.
Thanks, Strug.
20 years later.
I see you as a balloon flying high, and slowly over the course of us, you're going to be like
deflated.
Hovering 2 inches off the ground. Everything's fine. It's less fine.
It is really interesting to think about it being okay to be disappointed. I don't think I've thought of that till this conversation. I think so. The times that I have felt disappointed in my life, the thing that comes first to my mind is just how many times I tried to move out of Hamtramck and how many times it like wasn't going to happen that year, and how disappointing that was for me. But I've always saw it as just like a not yet sort of thing. Like, anytime there's been a disappointment in my life, now it's different than grieving, but a disappointment has always just been like it's just not the right time yet. It's not ever been in my mind a closed door, I guess, or a no. It's just been a not yet. So that kind of helps me not be disappointed, because I'm just like, oh, well, it's coming. It's just not here yet. Or I'm not.
And then when I hear you say that, I don't think, well, that's toxic positivity. Right. I think you are so faithful.
That's like having a long view of things. Again, it's a perspective shift where I'm like, well, the door's shut. My husband said I can't redo the kitchen. I'm never going to have another kitchen.
Right. Yeah.
So. Or like with your kiddo situation. Well, I'm never going to have a kid. We tried, because you guys tried IVF and all that kind of stuff, right?
We didn't do IVF. We did like IUI, which is basically like timing everything exactly perfect with the lab involved, but
okay,
not putting it together in the lab and then inserting it. Does that make sense?
Got it. And but when you finally said, we're done trying all these things, you sold everything. You said, we're never going to have kids. It's just never going to happen. You got rid of all the kid stuff. Then you got the call for the adoption.
Yes.
Interesting.
Then we got rid of all the second kid stuff. And then we got a call about Porter. Two times we got rid of everything. We dumb. We should keep stuff. I just like getting rid of stuff.
I know. I did that too. To be fair, I did that after I got my tubes tied, which did feel very... like a safe time to get rid of.
Theoretically, yes.
Baby things. So, Emily, are you more a like right here and now present person versus like living in the future or living in the past? You know, like those three type of people. Would you say you're like a right here and now?
No, I think I'm more future.
Future.
I'm
okay.
Always trying to make things better. I think that's future. I don't like to look at the past. It makes me sad. So I know I'm not past.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm present. I'm not sure. I'd have to see. I have to do a little research.
I don't know either. I don't know if those are even actual things, but.
Let's just talk about the categories that we just made up.
No, I think that, I mean, if you talk about the Enneagram, I think there are ones that are like more focused on the future, past, or present. I just don't know which one I am.
Yeah.
So I was speaking of disappointment. It kind of made me laugh. I was in the elevator with a guy at work the other day, and he was getting off work, and I still had like 4 hours left of work. And I said, how you doing? He goes, good now. I'm going home. I said, that's not fair. And he said, life's not fair. And I was like, boom. I didn't think that we were going to talk about that, but you're right. Life isn't fair. Thanks for reminding me. Have a good rest of your day, truth bomb elevator man. So yeah, life is not fair. So that's a good thing to remember.
I say that to my kids all the time.
I know, but strangers aren't supposed to tell you that when they're getting off work.
No, that is true.
Keep that to your own self. Go tell your kids at home, sir.
Okay, so how about this one? Confronted a close friend and the friendship ending. Very disappointed. Ooh. Have you guys had friendship breakups in adult life? Because that hurts. That's like a gut check.
I feel really bad to even say this out loud. I feel like I'm always the reason a friendship ends, an adult friendship ends. And so I think I've been like the reason of people's disappointment in that sense. I don't know that I want to unpack that. I think I view a lot of my friendships as adults in seasons. I don't view friendships as lifelong necessarily. So when, for example, a certain friend I'm thinking of, she went completely homeschool, I went completely public school, which meant our schedules no longer lined up to hang out like a homeschool family's used to, you know? And yet she wanted to keep pursuing the friendship, and I just didn't have, it just was a schedule problem. And I think if I cared enough about it, maybe I could have figured it out, but I sort of ended it, and I think she was very disappointed about it. I felt like that friendship was a season, a homeschool season, you know? And, like, it was okay that for me that it was over. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It has to be okay with both people.
What if it's not, though? What if it was, like, never not okay with her and it's just okay with me?
No, I'm saying it has to be – for a friendship to continue, it has to be mutual, right? And so – did you ever have a conversation about it? You know, I love having conversations.
I did not. And I really should have. I just didn't know how to. I just kept kind of like pushing off the get together suggestions, you know? Yeah. So I handled that poorly. But I don't know. I didn't know what to say. Like, hey, I just don't feel like things are working. What would you say?
It's not me. It's not you. It's me.
And it's true. And like, it wasn't a friendship that I wanted to rearrange my schedule for. Like, it was a great friendship when our schedules matched up.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. You have a lot going on. You have a lot of children. They're young and you work. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're sitting at home and you're retired empty nester going, I just can't be bothered to play tennis with you right. This afternoon.
Pickleball. I think it would be pickleball.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what's cool now.
My bad.
What should I have said? Should I have said something? Should I have just been like,
you know, we're going to say you should have said something.
I know.
Only because we like to say stuff.
Well, and if you think it hurt her feelings, then I don't know. I probably would have said, like, I just got to be honest. I do not have the margin right now. Yeah. I think you're great. I wish I had time.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
That would have been really good.
I am noticing a theme with you, though. You feel like you let people down. I feel like you think you disappoint people. And I don't think you have enough. You ain't got time for that. So you got to let go of it. I think even just a text message, shooting that off and being like, love you, man, but I can't.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just free you up so much?
Yeah, it would. But I still would feel like I disappointed her, even with that text. And I probably will. That's hard.
But you're not in charge of if she's disappointed or not.
It's true.
And you say, listen, I'm thinking about you. I think you're fantastic. Mm-hmm. Hope you're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to clear something up. It's been... So at church, they say, I've probably talked about this, but that if there's like a bunch of windows that keep popping up in the background, like a thing like this that you keep thinking about, you should just double click on it. Just see about it. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I think about it. If you think about it technologically, you're like, oh, yeah, that's a tab I have open that's running in the background. Let me just address it.
Yeah. It's really good. I love that thought, actually. There's a lot of things that could apply to, like tiny little to-do tasks, you know, or just like little tabs that are open that you just need to shut.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it doesn't mean go on that website for 9 hours. It just means address it, X out of it.
Right.
Move along. Yeah. It's funny because Rebecca, we've been friends, I don't know how many years now, met a total of 2 times, I think. And, but I think you've been thinking that you've been disappointing me for ages and that we were about to not be friends. And I'm like, hold it. What? I don't... I think I'm... Am I in the wrong friendship? What's happening? I'm not having the same experience as you are.
I do. You're right.
Yeah.
I think I have some wounds with friendships. Like, you know, like some issues.
Something to look into. I'm glad that you're seeing that.
Mm-hmm. You're like, finally.
No, I just think it's good to be a little bit aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of you guys have probably heard all 3 of us sing the praises of Pros, the world's most personalized hair care. And for those that haven't, I want to tell you about it right now. So the 3 of us have curly hair, and we all like it for different reasons. I like it because it helps my curls group better. They have shampoo, conditioner, hair mask, they have vitamins, they have all the things. But the hair mask you use before you shampoo, and I can always tell a huge difference after I've used that. It just feels so much less like straw, which is a good thing. Pros knows there's more to you than just your hair type. Pros has given over 1 million consultations with their in-depth hair quiz, which is how we got started. So it's going to ask you all kinds of questions like, where do you live in? What are your goals? Do you color your hair? Do you have split ends? Is your scalp dry? All these kinds of things. And by analyzing over 85 personal factors, Pros determines a unique blend of ingredients to treat your exact concerns. One of my main concerns was brassiness, and so I have a purple conditioner. Pros also has a review and refine feature, and it lets me tweak my formula for any reason like change of address, hair color, or diet. When I tweaked my formula, I changed the scent, and I loved both scents. The first one I got was kind of floral, and the second one I got was earthy. I think I'm going to stick with the earthy one. It's really nice. As a carbon neutral certified B Corp, Pros is an industry leader in clean and responsible beauty. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty free. They're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. If you're not 100% positive, Pros is the best hair care you've had. They'll take the product back, no questions asked. Pros is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/MSW, that's PROSE.com/MSW for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off.
Some of these comments, you know, pop out because I can see them all listed out in front of me, and they'll start like, this is silly, but, you know, I don't know, but there's big disappointments, like rock your world disappointments, and then there's little disappointments, but they still, it's still valid. My counselor, who I just broke up with her, which was good because we weren't really connecting and whatever. It was fine, but I'm also busy and
sounds like a dating relationship.
They feel
I look, bet they do
friendships and
I know.
These it is it's a relationship. You gotta date for a while and it doesn't always work out, but anyway, I really liked her. She was like my age and she lived here locally, and I tell she's Hispanic, and she's always like, Katie, that's really valid. Like, I really feel like that's really valid. I'm like, thank you. But anyway,
I don't even remember what we were talking about. Something about being valid.
Oh, because people are saying it's not, it's silly, but
oh, yeah.
It's not a big deal, but.
Yeah, little disappointments, they are valid.
Here's what I think. Part of the reason that we'd say what's giving us life and killing us softly, they can be stupid little annoyances. That's still a disappointment. And I think something really important is to talk about it with somebody, even if it's tiny, is to, if you want to think about it in a wound way, if there's like a splinter or an abscess, let's just really get gross. There's like a bunch of pus in there. I'm sorry. I love grossing you out. You got to cut it open, get it out, or it's not going to heal. So even if it's just an irritation, like an ingrown hair, and get it out of there, and let's move past it.
Even it's really true. I like the ones about in here. I mean, I don't like any of these. I hate that we have disappointment at all in life, but these ones I can resonate with. The one saying, when I realized my husband had autism, or when your parents make bad grandparents for your babies, that's a very strong. Like when your persons in your life don't meet up to what you expected them to.
Man.
Those are huge. I remember specifically being in marriage counseling and our counselor saying like, Rebecca, you need to, I don't remember what she said, apologize to Neil or say like, it's okay, I forgive you for not being the person that I thought you should be. Or I forget exactly how she had me word it, but it was like this freeing thing for both of us to just say like, I was trying to make you into somebody that you're not, and I need I'm letting that go, and now I'm like learning who you are as you are and loving that, you know? Like I wish I was a counselor. I'd be doing so much better at this.
I get what you say. You can't when there's a situation that you can't control.
Or the person that you married ends up being a little bit different of a husband than you expected.
Or your kids, if I can say. Sometimes,
let's go there.
Even if we love them, we didn't think it was going to be like this. And 100%. We certainly love our children. We provide for all their basic needs. And if I can just tell you, in the mental health place where I work, I see that some kids are, their basic needs are not being provided for. And so I can assure you that you are doing a great job if your children are fed and safe and sleep in a warm place at night. So let me just take that that guilt away from you. But even though we love them, they are sometimes just little monsters. And we're big monsters. Like, it's, I'm not saying they're bad and it's on them, but I deal with some very real grief over that topic. So yeah, there's disappointment there too. You're right about it.
Yeah, I really did think that I was just going to be able to like dress them up really cute and put like hair bows in them. And then that ended sooner than I was ready for. And now they don't brush their hair.
Mine like to brush like part of it. So that's good. Okay, so what do we do? The people in our life, the in-laws, the parents, the grandparents, the kids, and the husbands, everybody that's not us. There's something wrong with those people. How do we handle the disappointment? How do we struggle well in it?
I mean, I feel like the first thing is to say you're disappointed. Like to say to yourself even.
Oh, I thought you meant to say to them, you're disappointing.
No, just say it to yourself or your journal or your therapist or your friend. Like, hey, I thought that my in-laws were going to be like this and they're not. And can't change that person to fit what you thought they should be. You really do have to erase that and learn to love them as they are. Like, exactly. Whether they change or not. They may never – things they do may never change.
Should you tell them?
You know I'm going to say yes.
I'm just wondering, like, how important is it? I think identifying it yourself is huge. But do you then go have a conversation?
I think it depends on what it is. So I will say this out loud because I know my mom listens and we've talked through this. I had an expectation of my parents that they would be babysitters whenever I wanted them to be. Like I saw that from other people's grandparents. And so I thought that's just how it was going to be. And it turns out that that's not very life-giving for my parents. That's not how they want to be grandparents. And that's truthfully not how their parents were grandparents to me either. So it's what they experienced, but it was different than I expected. And I had to, now we did have conversations about it angrily. Like I remember us yelling at a Airbnb on some vacation. And it was because I expected my parents to watch my kids so I could like go out with Neil. And that just wasn't, they will do that, but it's on their initiative, I would say. And actually, and then I feel so like nervous because I know my mom listens to this. I ask them a lot now. Hey, I'm in a pickle. Like I need someone. Are you free at this point to take Jonah to hockey while I go do this? But I think we've gotten to a point where I know that they will say no if they can't or they don't have the margin to. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay. Like I'm okay with that. And I always have a backup plan that's like, hey, I know. Can you do this? If not, I'm going to ask this person. So it's not just all on them. I think we've gotten to a really healthy place in it where I do ask them for babysitting and they do offer for babysitting. But at the beginning, when the kids were little, I just thought like, oh, come, they're going to come stay for like a week and Neil and I are just going to go to Belize. I don't even know where that is. But that's where we're going to go.
I think it's by Virginia.
Oh, dear. Right over, guys. By Virginia.
My assignment for you for next time we meet is to get a map.
So I don't know. I mean, I think first I had to realize that they may never, that was not going to be the case. But we did have conversations about it too. So I don't know. They weren't healthy conversations at the beginning.
Yeah.
But look where you are now.
It's true. Yeah.
It's been a progression and it sounds great now. Yeah. That's good.
So maybe unhealthy conversations, like yelling conversations, aren't as unhealthy as we think they are.
Sometimes they get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And the healing happens. Again, if we go, let's go back to we're cutting open a wound. The initial part is quite
painful,
alarming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it causes the most mess, right? But then the healing is slower, but
ooh, I like that also analogy. Important. Ooh, that's really good. Okay, so you're right, Emily. We should just talk about it in every situation. Just pop that pus ball.
Pus ball.
That's not a thing. I think if it is going to affect the way that you, because, okay, a lot of times if it's an issue that you're having with a person in your daily life, it may be you and it may be them, but you don't really know unless you do talk about it. Like, what can you handle mentally yourself? You know what I mean? I feel like maybe my mental health is a little tenuous because I can't handle, like, the dishes never being done. Or there's some things about my environment that are very important to me, but I also know that I'm a little too that way. So you have to kind of meet in the middle and find a third way. Mm-hmm. Their way is not working for you. Your way is probably not working for them. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. We're equally as annoying as they are. So we're talking together to find a compromise, a third way, can help for the amount of time that you guys are going to have to interact with each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These relationships are everything.
Yeah.
And they're not going to just cease to exist because they're not perfect.
The tricky thing is knowing if they're like so volatile and unhealthy that they need to stop. Mm-hmm. And we can't always tell that ourselves, especially if we've been mistreated for a length of time. So I think that's why sometimes it's important to get a professional and an outsider involved. That's tricky in case of abuse because they don't want an outsider involved. But do what you can to get to a place where an impartial person can talk to you about it and help you. Because I've talked to women before who would tell me about sexual abuse that happened. And they were like, oh, but that wasn't sexual abuse because X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, it 100% was sexual abuse.
Yeah.
But they just literally can't see it. So sometimes if you're feeling like you're in a situation where I'm really not okay with what's going on, but I don't know if I'm just being extra and I just need to calm down or if I'm actually being abused, that's a very confusing place to be. And I think like when I was leaving my first husband who was abusive, I literally had to put down everything I thought was true and go to a third person who was a professional. And I wrote out everything she said. Like that was I just looked at my brain as like a giant black scribble. Like it's a mess up there. And I can't go off with this giant black scribble because it doesn't make any sense. And so I just had to rewire myself by putting down everything I thought was true and everything I felt very strongly. and let the professional tell me. And even in mental health, the patients who I see do the best are the patients who stop fighting the professionals trying to help them and put it down and say, okay, I'm going to just go with what the doctor is saying. I'm just going to go with what the therapist is saying, even though this isn't adding up. But the people who persist in saying, I'm an astronaut, I work for the FBI, those are the people who continue to have mental, you know what I'm saying? Like, we sometimes just got to go, hey, my way's not working. Let's try a new way.
Mm-hmm. It is rewiring too. A lot of the, even the people who are like, I know this is silly, but like, that's a rewiring to just take that out. Like, catch yourself when you say those little things like, this isn't a big deal, but well, it is enough of a big deal for you to bring it up. So just Neil's always telling me that I'm not straightforward enough, that I try to, like, with him specifically, which I do think bleeds over into a little bit on how I lead at, like, Better Life Bags and different places, is I like, okay, this wasn't a big deal, but he's like, just tell me you want the sidewalk shoveled wider, you know, like, you know, just say it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's hard to rewire that.
Kick off 2022 with a better checking account with no monthly fees. Chime, an award-winning app and debit card, has no overdraft fees, foreign transaction fees, monthly fees, or service fees. With over 60,000 fee-free in-network ATMs at many locations like most Walgreens, 7-Eleven, CVS, you can access your money when you need it, where you need it. You can also send money to anyone, even if they aren't on Chime. Fee-free for you and no cash-out fees for them. Make your first good decision of the new year and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and it doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/MSW. That's chime.com/MSW. Banking service provided by and debit card issued by The Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA, members FDIC. Get fee-free transactions at any MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATMs. Otherwise, out-of-network ATM withdrawals, fees may apply, sometimes pay anyone, instant transfers can be delayed. Recipient must use a valid debit card or be a Chime member to claim funds. I'm learning about that in school, the neuro pathways like that are formed when parents look at babies or when parents don't look at babies, and the pathways that are formed, you know, they get stronger over time. If babies don't have, you know, somebody in their face, you know, making them feel comfortable, they parts of their brain literally die.
Yikes.
And they don't come back. And so there is really something to writing down truths about your disappointments, maybe, and retelling yourself that.
Makes me want to put my phone away.
What really feels hard about it is, like, those highways made in our brains from repeated use are so easy to go down. But then if we want to do a new thing, it's like we need a machete to go and get out all the weeds and the trees and the brush. And that just feels so hard. And the other feels so easy, and it doesn't seem like it will ever feel easy to do that new way. But it really does feel easy. Like, I can tell you, it's been a couple months of not drinking alcohol. And just last night, I had one of the worst days at work that I've ever had. And I literally just broke down and, like, wept at work, which my antidepressant makes me, I really don't cry very frequently. But I certainly don't cry at work, but things were just so intense and bad and sad. And I went home and I took a bath and I didn't drink alcohol. And I can tell you that a couple months ago, I could not have conceived of doing it that way.
Yeah.
So it isn't easy, but our brains are made by a God who restores things, and he is able to restore and make new pathways. So there's always hope that a new way can happen.
How long do you have to chop through weeds to make a new pathway?
You know, I think that's a good question. I think it's the amount of reps that you get.
Okay.
Just like the more, you know, you lift weights, the stronger you'll get. And if you lift weights, you know, very infrequently, then it's going to stay like a path that's not very easy to go through. I don't know. I think it's the amount of times. I think it's the reps that matter.
Makes sense.
And it's just important to remember there is hope and it will get easier. Right now I'm in the place where I don't like to work out and I can't conceive of ever wanting to do that. But I'm tackling that next. And I can use alcohol as my remembering that it will get easier.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say as your pre-workout.
Yeah, I can just get real liquored up first.
It's her reward for after. Yeah.
I think this has been good. I was surprised. I'm surprised. Anybody else have any more stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think I just want to end with, like, a lot of these are, like, a lot of things that are disappointing. They are disappointing because we're out of control. Like, we... Something happened that we didn't pick, which just is a reminder, like the long game is, the long vision is so important, and the reminder that God has good plans for us. And it may not make sense why you had to move across the country, but there is a reason that hopefully we will know, but maybe we'll never, you know, maybe I'll never know. But I just think to trust in the fact that, like, God has good plans. It gets really hard for me, though, when I look at these struggles, her saying, like, my daughter was diagnosed with leukemia, and, like, my friend's son who died of neuroblastoma. Like, those are harder for me to be like, yeah. God is good. God has a plan. This happened for, like, that. This happened for, like, that's, those get trickier for me. But this, the disappointments, like, I had to move across the country. You know, those are easier for me to see. Like, well, there's a long game here. Like, we just can't see the whole picture. And I know that's true in every situation, but I'm just acknowledging how hard losing a child. Like, I have I have no words for that. Like, no words.
I remember thinking in the shower after my mother-in-law died, I was like, I could see a path. I'm like, how could I believe in God? And then I remember thinking, how could I go on without him?
Yeah, and just trusting that he is always good. And not most of the time, not 99.9% of the time, but always good. That's not easy to swallow. But it is good to remember that if it's not good, it's not the end. So there must be more. Because I'm sitting in a pile of filth right now. This is bad. But God is good. And God is always on the move. And so there is more to the story.
And I think it's okay to say what happened is not good. But God is good. And you're right, Kate, like, to think, to go through that experience of losing a child or, you know, your mother-in-law, people so close to your husband, I would not want to do it without God. Like, that would feel so empty and so devastating. But I could also see myself in the moment being like, I'm so mad at you. I don't want you to exist. Like, how could you have made this happen? You know? So I can see you being at that, like, pathway, like, which way am I going to go?
This is a little bit of a gear switch, but I think, like, in our everyday small disappointments, this is something Brené Brown says, and I've already talked about this, but just instead of saying, this is silly, but I know I'm being ridiculous, but just saying the story I'm telling myself is that. Because then that neutralizes it. And it's not you making a big deal of something. It's just telling somebody out loud the narrative that's happening inside of your head. Just a thought. So, have we done it?
I think we've done it.
I think we have.
All right, let's do Giving Me Life, Killing Me Softly.
Giving me life, killing me softly.
What's killing me softly? No.
What?
What's disappointing my family about me?
Oh, shoot.
Is that I am a very, very gaseous person. And I wish that I wasn't, but I am. And I remember as a kid, my sweet grandma just always having gas. And I just feel like, you know, Beano, grandma always had Beano.
I don't recall that, but that, or her being gassy. That's so funny. Maybe you sat closer to her than I did.
Maybe. Anyway, and I just wish that, I weren't that person, but I am that person. And it is offensive. I mean, the worst of the worst. I just wish, I am so amazed by people whose gas has no fragrance.
Does that exist?
Yeah.
Huh.
By Brandon.
Really?
No scent.
Do you like the smell of your own farts?
Okay.
I am offended. Emily, you seem surprised. Do you not know this about me?
I didn't know.
Anyway, I've always blamed it on somebody else. I just always have. So it used to always be, Daddy, like, what in the world is wrong with Daddy's insides? But he hasn't lived with us for almost a year. And so I couldn't do it, but I did do it for a while. Like, it must have been Dad. And the kids would be like, no. But they also are like, is it? I don't. They don't get it that it's not him. So anyway, he's not around. And so now I blame it on text messages. Must have got a text message.
It must have come through my watch. That was Aunt Laura. And so I blame it on other people. And it worked with my six-year-old the other night. It happened again. And Joni was like, check your notifications. Who texted you? Like, it's working.
She literally
has no idea.
That's hysterical.
She's like, Aunt Emily. My God.
Oh, she's all right. She thinks my name's Erica.
So that's right. Aunt I'm Erica. Freaked.
I never said my kids were smart. All right, what's killing you softly?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so as I thought of this, I was very seriously feeling bad for myself. So I've worked 50 hours this week. Like I said, very difficult 50 hours. And then both my children, for different reasons, have gotten their technology taken away for this weekend. And then there was a death in, like, a family friend. And so my husband is gone for the weekend. So now I have my 2 days off to get ready to start work again. I have no husband and 2 kids off technology. And I felt really bad that I was going to be solo parenting for 2 entire days. And then I thought, and I have to tell both of these women who solo parent for their careers, both of you always have your husbands gone, basically. And I have 2 days of it, so.
Well, you have 2 days and no technology. That's like, that's a double whammy right there.
Yeah.
So I'm minimizing my disappointment. I'm being silly, but anyway.
No, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
I didn't say I'm not having technology. Maybe just lock them outside and have some technology for myself. Anyway.
Enjoy your technology. Rebecca, what's killing you softly?
Well, I'm not exactly sure how this happened, but yesterday I peed my pants.
Okay. That sounds disappointing.
Could you blame it on your text messages?
I did not think to. I don't understand still how this happened.
5 children.
I didn't give birth vaginally. It's not I can't use that as an excuse. I've not pushed people out of my vagina.
Huh.
So I don't know what happened, but I was unpacking a box and I had the sensation like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. Like a normal one sensation that you get that comes on. It came on quite suddenly, but that happens, you know, the sensation. And then all of a sudden my body just was peeing and I was like, wait.
That's what I would have said.
I like waddled to the bathroom as like warm liquid is filling up my leggings. Like, this is not happening right now, but it surely was. And I could not contract my muscles to make it stop. Like, there was no stopping. And I didn't, it wasn't like I had to pee for hours. I don't get it. I do not understand what happened.
I know what it is.
What?
Do you remember when I was moving and I was peeing my pants?
What? Guys.
Do you remember?
No. Why?
Yes. And then I said it on the podcast, somebody messaged me and she said, I went to a lady doctor because I was peeing my pants and it was stress. It was
stress incontinence.
Is that what it is?
That's what it's called.
I remember it was the day I you know, traveled across country, and I remember standing in my backyard, like on the day that we got there, and being like, what? Yeah, moving is stressful.
I feel so much better, but I wanted to stop. I don't.
It'll stop the last box that you unpack. Then it will resolve.
It'll be a puddle
on the
floor. It did
go away from me.
Oh, man, I want to go back and listen to that episode where you shared that. I can't believe I forgot. So that funny. Makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
All right.
There's that.
All right. What's giving me life? I'll do a short one. So just a wrap up. Or no, just a, what do you call it when you look back?
Recap.
Just a follow up. Recap, follow up.
Recap
I started up. Anxiety. Recap up. I started anxiety meds maybe like 3 months ago. I don't know. I'm not good with numbers or time. And I just want to say I'm really enjoying it. I'm on buspirone. Emily, am I saying that right?
Yes, buspirone.
Buspirone. Yeah, I want to add some more words in there. And what I like about it is that I can feel my cycle now. I'm like, oh, I am hormonal. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can like peek, I can see what's going on with myself now. So that's kind of cool. What I don't like about it, and then that feels manageable because I'm like, oh, I understand what's happening. Mm-hmm.
And I'm regular, and I have a thing on my phone that says, hey, this is happening, but I still couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, now I can. What I don't like about it is I have to take it twice a day, once in the morning, once mm-hmm. at night. And so that's a little like being fancy, and I don't enjoy that. Mm-hmm. So I might switch to something that is just once a day. But anyway, I just want to say it's going great.
Good. And you were so nervous about starting it too. So
I was super nervous.
Which is so ironic. That you were nervous so about anxiety meds. About anxiety. That's not funny. Oh. Mental health is not a joke. I apologize for laughing. But you're my sister, so I'm a laugh. Something that's given me life, just a quick one, is I just listened to a book called The Maid, and it's a mystery. And you guys know Amelia Bedelia, so she's really, really
yes.
literal. So draw the curtains. She literally draws the curtains and not just mm-hmm. open them. Well, so this is a maid, and they never outright say it. I don't know if she's on the spectrum or if she is, like, maybe has Asperger's, but she cannot tell facial features, like, facial expressions. She can't tell who is a friend or not and whatever, and she ends up getting herself in a whole lot of trouble on accident, and then somebody dies, and she's got to try to, like, figure out who's her friends and whatever. But it's written in a really great way to where at the end you're like, oh, I miss Molly. I wish I knew how she was doing. But she's fake.
That's nice.
So anyway, it's called The Maid. It's really good.
I'm going to add it to my list.
Do it.
Have you ever whitened your teeth and then they hurt afterwards? Kind of like a dull ache? Yuck. That happens to me every single time I whiten my teeth. But here's something I didn't know. 98% of oral bacteria are actually good for you. They're essential to your oral health. And it turns out the quote-unquote fact that all bacteria are bad is just a myth. And Lumino is busting it wide open. So I bought Lumino whitening strips probably a year ago because Rebecca suggested them on Instagram. And they really didn't make my teeth ache. And I could tell that they were whiter that very night. As soon as I took those bad boys off, I was like, okay, what? And I was surprised because it was all natural ingredients. I was a skeptic, but it did work. Lumino makes toothpaste, mouthwash, and whitenings that are a totally new and different approach to improving your oral health. They use purposeful and uncompromising ingredients like sea salt, aloe, and coconut oils to clean and brighten your smile. Plus, everything they make is certified non-toxic. You won't find harsh chemicals or bleaches in any of Lumino's products, and everything is dentist formulated, backed by over 50 studies, and proven to protect the good bacteria, also known as the microbiome. You'll love Lumino's whitening. It only takes 30 minutes to apply and brightens your smile with no sensitivity. You can find Lumino on Amazon.com and get $7 off today. That's LUMINEUX. Remember, it's spelled with an X so that you can X out the harm. Lumino, dedicated to illuminating better ideas in oral care.
Well, I think the biggest thing giving me life right now, like literal biggest thing, is my new house that I love so much. You know that this was like the right move when there was threat of a snow day happening today. And I texted my friends and I was like, I really am hoping for a snow day tomorrow. And they're like, are you okay? Question mark. And I was like, yeah, I like being in the appropriate size house for my family size is a game changer. I think I'm going to be a totally new woman. Like, I'm going to be a great mom.
Okay, let's temper the expectations for the disappointment that will follow.
He just needs a bigger house. And in 6 months, you're like, all I need is a little bit bigger house.
Or I'll be like, there's too much to clean here. I need to go. Yeah, there's going to be negatives, I know. But right now, it feels like a fresh start in so many ways. Like all the routines I wanted to implement at the old house, like chore charts, or it's like a fresh start. I can do that now with it being like, oh, well, in this house, we don't have screens on the third floor. Or is this the second floor? We don't have a third floor.
And wow. So there definitely are no screens on the roof.
There's no screens on the roof. Like we don't have screens in our bedrooms, which is all on the second floor. I can implement that now because this is a new house. So there are like new rules here. And
yeah,
it's just feeling fun. I mean, it's a total blank slate to like decorate and like set up house. And
that's so cool.
It's just, I'm really, really loving it.
The light in there is amazing. The light is you guys amazing. Can't see Rebecca, but wow, is it bright in there?
I've never looked better in my life, personally.
That's what I was going to say. Okay.
Before we go, I want to read an iTunes review from a sweet strug. This is from Maggie Fram. Now, Maggie emailed this one, hello@momstrugglingwell.com, because Stitcher doesn't take reviews. That's the worst. Oh, and she numbered it. So here's what she said. Number one, every episode has a takeaway that I can use IRL. Number two, I love what Emily's gone through finding the best job for her. I felt like I would never find a job that I love, but she learned to forgive herself and to be honest with herself. So maybe she found the job that she wants too, because you're so picky and she appreciates that.
Because I'm so picky?
Well, like you're picky about your job. Like you've been bopping around.
Well.
And that's great.
Okay.
Number three, I like that Emily, Kate, and Rebecca are in such different phases of motherhood. And number four, if I had to pick just one segment of each episode that helps me struggle well, it's Giving Me Life, Killing Me Softly. P.S. Keep the blooper reels coming and more sounds of Maisie, please.
Aww.
That's so sweet.
Thank you guys for giving us reviews.
Unless you're on Stitcher. In the show notes, look for Share the Struggle, leave us a review.
Here's the deal. I think it's interesting. I feel like we're supposed to be moving to Spotify, but I don't know why exactly. Does anybody know?
I mean, it does feel like Spotify is taking over the podcast land.
Is there a way to leave reviews on Spotify? I haven't gotten there yet.
I do not know this information.
Hey, leave us a review on Spotify if you can. We don't know.
If you want to continue the conversation, we can all be found on the gram. I'm at Kate Ordway.
I'm at Rebecca Smith Online.
And I am at Hey Emily Thomas. Sometimes. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week? Maybe you tell strangers in the elevator that life isn't fair just to take them down a notch. I don't recommend it, but I think it made that guy feel better. Maybe you need to not minimize the struggles and your disappointment because it's valid.
It's valid.
Yeah, you're better at that than me. Maybe if something just keeps rolling around in the back of your head, you just double click on that tab and you just kind of resolve it and then X out of it and then do what you need to do to get past it. Maybe Rebecca struggles well this week by texting that friend. And go ahead and circle back on Instagram and ask her if she's done it. Maybe just to get out of some things you need to not be responsible for, tell your kids that your gas is because of a text message you got and see if that goes over well. Maybe you buy a new house to get better lighting for your for your photos. Were any of these helpful? I don't know. I do think there was some really good stuff about disappointment, though, that I want to remember that we talked about. I just can't remember any of the details right now. So if you want to struggle well this week, listen to this episode again. If the show has helped you, please do share it because that lets more people know about how to struggle well. It shares the show with people. And then you become the expert and your friends think you're very wise.
Yep. And on the next episode, we were going to be over on Patreon with an Are You Into That segment. So if you loved this episode, make sure you join us at patreon.com/momstrugglingwell so you don't miss out.
And I want to say one more thing, because at the end of this month, we are going to do our quarterly live event. So yes. Join, and then we'll kind of vote on what the best day is, when all the strugs can attend.
And I have some giveaways stacking up.
Me too. I'm looking at them right now.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that. We have so much fun. It's a smaller group, and we're all there, and it's live. And
it's on Zoom.
Oh, yeah, live in your own
living house.
Mm-hmm. And you might win some stuff. We play games, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
'Cause we're all in this together. We're just moms struggling well.
Okay. Are you ready? Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Interesting. Am I ready? Here we go.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.